Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
So I was born on a Tuesday, late for a prayer meeting. And that is because I grew up in a Christian household, and for 30 years, I attended a Spanish-speaking Latino Pentecostal church. My mom and dad were co-founders of the church that I grew up in back home in Puerto Rico. And I would go to church every Sunday. Our services were 3 to 4 hours. I later found out that was my parents' childcare, all right? And it was there that I learned about God, that I learned about His power and His holiness. It was also there that I discovered Jesus was Puerto Rican. I mean, there's just no way He wasn't. We called Him Jesus. And every day I would hear, todo lo puedo en Cristo que me fortalece. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Which, I don't know about you, but that sounded way better in Spanish to me, all right? Which is why to this day, I still believe Jesus loves everybody, but Puerto Ricans are His favorite. Come on, somebody. As a young girl, I would go to church all week for prayer meetings and choir practice and youth ministry and small groups and Sunday morning church and Sunday evening church. I mean, there was a lot of church in my life. And I am thankful for my parents and the legacy of faith that they have handed down to me. In fact, my dad was and will always be my favorite pastor. He has taught me so much about the Bible. He taught me how to love God's word. In fact, he texted me last week, mi amor, ora por mí. I'm going to be preaching. Still to this day, he is 72 years old, and he is still preaching God's word. Guys, I owe my parents my soul. But despite my parents' faith, there does come a time in every person's faith journey when your faith needs to become your own. It's not enough that your parents believe. You have to make the choice to also believe for yourself. And I remember like it was yesterday. I was 12 years old when I made that decision. I've never looked back. In fact, I remember I went to church and I heard the gospel being preached. I heard about a God who loved me so much that He sent His son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the bill for my sins. And I didn't know it. I didn't know why then, but I remember I started crying. And over the course of the next few months, I would tear up any time I heard the gospel being preached. I would go home and I'd tell my parents, Papi, Mommy, I'm crying during services. And they said, Hija, you've had encounters with God, but you can't live off of encounters. Because faith in Jesus, it's not about feelings, it's about a relationship. So finally, after a couple of weeks of this, I went to church and the preacher made an invitation for people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I understood at that moment in my 12-year-old brain that I wanted to have a relationship with God, then I needed to accept Jesus in my heart. And I needed to embrace the truth of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So I went up and while weeping, I invited Jesus to come into my heart. About a week later, I found out that our church would be celebrating baptisms, and I knew I wanted to go public with my faith. I wanted to tell everybody in the world I, too, was a follower of Jesus. So I remember I signed up to get baptized, and they made me take a class for 4 weeks because they really wanted to make sure that I understood what baptism was. And to be honest, there were weeks where I wavered. I was like, do I really feel God saying I need to get my hair wet? In front of all these people, I'm not too sure about that. But at the end of that month, at 12 years old, I knew I wanted to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. And I ended up getting baptized in that Spanish-speaking church I grew up in, and I have been following Jesus now for over 30 years. Now, fast forward to today. There's a bunch of people all wearing the same shirts. We have hot tubs in the house, and some of you are thinking, what's going on? Well, if you haven't picked up what I'm putting down, then I'm so excited to tell you. My name is Kyra. I'm one of the pastors here. And today is one of my favorite Sundays of the year because today it is our spring baptism Sunday, guys. We have rolled out the holy hot tub at all of our 7 locations. And this morning, We are celebrating over 100 people getting baptized at Liquid Church. They've decided to publicly declare their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're getting baptized. Can we hear it for all these folks sitting here in the front row? I'm so proud of you guys. Today, you're going to hear some amazing stories of how God is changing people from the inside out. In a few minutes, each man, woman, and child sitting here today in a blue baptism shirt will be immersed in water in order to go public with their faith. And if you're coming to our church for the first time, maybe because there's someone here that you know that or that you love who is getting baptized, you may be wondering, well, why do people get baptized? Why do you go into all this trouble? You change your outfit, you get your hair wet, you share your story. What's so special about baptism? Well, for Christians, baptism is about obeying Jesus' last instruction to all of his believers. You see, before Jesus went to heaven, he gathered his disciples one final time, and he gave them one final set of instructions. The Gospel of Matthew actually records it this way. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So think about baptism this way. Baptism demonstrates what we believe. We don't get baptized to be saved. We get baptized as an expression of our salvation. And baptisms are so special. Guys, I don't think there's a human alive that can fully appreciate what the act of baptism means in heaven, including mine today. Any words that we say about baptism, including this message, they're just an attempt to understand in human words what is without a doubt a holy event, because that is how much rejoicing there is in heaven every time that someone gets baptized. Why? Because baptism reveals the beauty of the cross and the darkness of sin. When someone gets baptized and they go under the water, it symbolizes they're dying to their old self and all of the ways in which they allowed sin to enter into their lives. And then when they come out of the water, it represents resurrection. And it's like they're being raised to a new and eternal life, washed clean and filled with the Holy Spirit, which is why today, more than anything else, it will feel like a celebration of faith. The men, women, and children here today wearing their blue shirts getting baptized, they come from all different sorts of backgrounds. They come from all different kinds of places. And that's only possible because Christianity is a global faith. But it wasn't always like that. In fact, in the early days of Christianity, it was only limited to Jewish people until the baptism of a Roman centurion named Cornelius changed everything. So let me invite you to open up our Bible app to Acts chapter 10. Here's how the Bible describes Cornelius. At Caesarea, there was a man named, everybody say it with me, Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. I don't know why, but in my imagination, Cornelius, he's an Italian stallion, all right? He is a centurion in the Roman army, which was hated by the Jews. Remember, Rome was the occupying force in Jerusalem at the time. And the Roman emperor, who was Tiberius in that moment, personally appointed centurions to lead about 100 soldiers in times of war and keep the Pax Romana. And Cornelius, he was religious, but he didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, you guys probably know lots of people that you would consider similar to Cornelius, religious and a good man. People who don't steal, people who pay taxes, people who are good citizens. Some people sell candy for the soccer league, volunteer at the library, open door for old ladies. Some people even go to church on Sundays, and that's great. But the Bible is very clear that being a good person and doing good deeds, it doesn't really get you into heaven. And that's Cornelius. He's a good Roman centurion who wasn't a Christian yet, but he was devout and he was God-fearing. And he lived in Caesarea Maritima, or like I like to say, Cesarea Marítima, which at the time was the capital of the Roman Judea province. I've been to Cesarea Marítima. Actually, this is me and my husband, Jose, last May when our church went to Israel. This is a beautiful place by the sea, and it's 54 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Now, Cesarea Marítima was where Herod had his palace in Israel. He had a hot tub and all of his comforts away from home. And it was so full of Gentiles, it was actually considered Rome away from home. Anyway, we have here Cornelius. He's a devout, moral man. He's not yet a Christian, but he's religious. And he goes to church. And one day, an angel appears to Cornelius in a vision with a very specific set of instructions. It says, one day, at about 3 p.m, Cornelius had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Isn't that amazing, by the way? That this passage actually suggests God hears the prayers of non-believers. Cornelius didn't know Jesus yet, but God heard his prayers and actually noticed his generosity, because Cornelius had a heart of compassion and he gave gifts to the poor, which piled up as a memorial offering, and it caused God to remember his prayers. So God sends an angel who instructs him, now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. In other words, the angel tells Cornelius, go find a guy named Peter in Joppa. Now, Joppa is mostly a Jewish seaport, and Cornelius is a Gentile. In other words, and I would say, not just a Gentile, but he is a centurion who is part of the occupying army of Rome. And he doesn't know Peter, and Peter doesn't know Cornelius. And Jews and Gentiles, they don't actually mix. You see, Jews saw Gentiles as dirty, corrupt, and violent. And the Roman army had no problem beating up on the Jewish people and actually dismissing their faith. So Jews and Gentiles, oh, they didn't actually mix. But God is about to work behind the scenes and bring these two guys together and change the world forever. They needed to find each other because the Bible actually tells us the gospel has been given to humanity. We are the vessels to reach other humans with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been sent to go and reach other people, not just our community, but nations. And God's not only going to complete Cornelius' salvation, he's about to teach Peter a lesson. You see, Peter, as a traditional Jew, has been brought up in a very closed-off religious circle. You see, Jews dress differently, they pray differently, they live differently than the Gentiles. Jews have a kosher diet, while Gentiles, oh, they ate unclean things like lechon and pernil and chorizo. You know, the Jews were missing out. So there was a massive wall between these two people. And Peter, although he was a leader of the early church, he was really a spiritual bigot because he wasn't too keen to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who weren't Jews, which is why up to this point, Christianity is seen as a runaway sect of Judaism. And here we have Cornelius, an Italian who belongs to the Roman army, who's occupying Jews. So understand, to bring these two guys together, a Roman soldier and a Jewish spiritual leader, would require transcending a major cultural obstacle. But this is why this story is so awesome. Because the Lord also gives Peter a vision, and he commands Peter not to call unclean anything that God has made. Remember, the biggest obstacle to Jews and Gentiles was what Gentiles ate. And God is telling Peter, Peter, I created everything that people eat, so nothing is unclean. And that's why when the messengers Cornelius sent find Peter, Peter willingly goes with them. And when Peter gets to Cornelius' house, he finds not just Cornelius, but all of his relatives and all of his friends. And Peter, oh, he starts preaching. He starts preaching the gospel to Cornelius and his family. And he actually says, you know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him, hanging on him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Guys, this is the moment that the gospel is literally jumping over cultural, racial, and ethnic barriers because Peter, a Jew, is actually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to a non-Jew. And while he's preaching, he realizes something so profound, it changed the very fabric of all of our lives. Look at what he says. He says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Guys, Peter's revelation is that the gospel is not just for observant Jews, but for Italians. It's for Koreans. It's for Indians, for Nigerians, for Egyptians, for Germans, for Puerto Ricans. It's for everyone. Remember, up to this point, only Jews had heard of the gospel, but now Peter is preaching to a European. And with this one act, he changes everything because now everybody's eligible for kingdom membership. It's not just Jews anymore, but every nation, tribe, tongue, and language is able to hear and respond to the good news of the gospel. And as Peter preaches, the Holy Spirit drops in a powerful way because while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, they were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Guys, do you know what this is? This is the first ever Gentile Pentecost. You see, the Jewish Pentecost, it happened 8 chapters before this story in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came over Jewish believers and everyone started speaking in tongues. But now for the first time ever, the Holy Spirit falls on Gentile converts and now Italians start speaking in tongues, which means Italians, you have the great honor of becoming the first ever non-Jewish converts to Christianity. 3 cheers for Italians. Come on, people. And it all happened at Caesarea Maritima. Why is that important? Because that was the port from which the Roman soldiers traveled to Rome, which means this is the place where the gospel first traveled outside of Jerusalem and into Europe. So understand, Caesarea Maritima is the birthplace of Gentile Christianity. Guys, this is the moment where the Lord, in his goodness and his kindness, opened up the opportunity to be a Christ follower to anyone. So understand, you no longer have to be Jewish. You no longer have to have that firsthand revelation of Jesus. Instead, the Holy Spirit will lead people to preach the gospel to all nations. So what's my point? That Christianity is transcultural. Do you know what that means? It means that Christianity transcends cultures. It transcends races, ethnicities, and religious backgrounds. So it doesn't matter if you grew up religious or irreligious. If you come from the church or you're brand new to the message of Jesus Christ, salvation is for everybody, which is why after Cornelius and his family come to faith, they get baptized. Look at how our story ends. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Guys, just like Cornelius and his gang of Italian stallions got baptized, today you're going to see people getting baptized who are Korean, Puerto Rican, Portuguese, Egyptian, Indian, Italian. That's what it means when I say that Christianity is transcultural. Because of what the Lord made possible between Peter and Cornelius, Christianity became global, and we're still enjoying the fruits of that today. Understand, here at Liquid, we have baptized over 3,000 people who come from different backgrounds, different places, different races. But understand, we may be all different, but we all serve as part of one body. It is one spirit, one faith, one baptism, and most importantly, one God who is the Father of all. Amen? Salvation is for everyone. And just like the Holy Spirit spoke to Cornelius, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you today. God wants you to believe in the sacrifice of his Son and be baptized in the name of Jesus, like Cornelius was, like I was, like Pastor Tim was, like 3,000 other people in this church have. It doesn't matter what you've done, what your past is, or even what your future looks like. All that matters is that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today can be your day of salvation. So maybe you were invited by a friend who's getting baptized. Maybe you're here today and you have a heavy heart and a broken past. Maybe you have things that you know you need to confess to God so that you can receive his forgiveness. But right now, God is speaking to you, and I believe he's saying to you what Peter said to Cornelius. Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you haven't received the grace and the forgiveness of God through faith in Christ and being baptized in his name, what are you waiting for? Do it today. Settle the issue of your eternity right now. It's not complicated. How do I get saved? It's simple. You just do what baptism pictures. You believe in the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. Because on the cross, Jesus identified with you. And in baptism, you identify with him. When you go under the water, you are identifying with the death of Jesus, being buried to your old life of sin and guilt and shame, all that is dead and buried with Jesus. And when you come up out of the water, you are identifying with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are raised to new life, you're washed clean, and you're filled with his Holy Spirit. So think of all that you can experience today. If you get baptized, you receive what Cornelius received. The forgiveness of sins, the hope of heaven, and a purpose for living. That's what we're about to witness as folks get baptized here today. Lives change forever by the love of Christ. And if God is talking to you, then I would like to lead you in a prayer of salvation right now. In fact, why don't we all bow our heads right now? Because with all heads bowed, and this is a holy moment between you and your Father in heaven, I want to invite you, if you are ready to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, then repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you with a humble heart. I admit I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place. I believe he was raised from the dead, and he is Lord of lords. Jesus, forgive me. I now turn to you. Save me. Come into my heart. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, and make me brand new. I commit to you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.